Inside Crime is produced by A Block Media, a full-service consulting firm specializing in media solutions for the law enforcement community. Law enforcement professionals know A Block is a partner they can trust. I'm Angeline Hartman. As a journalist, I've worked with cops and victims of crime all over the country. My craft is storytelling. My passion is crime fighting. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Inside Crime. This is part two of Morgan Nick's story. If you haven't heard the prior episode yet, go back and listen to that first. Last week, we brought you back exactly 25 years to the day, June 9th, 1995, when Morgan Nick disappeared. She was 6 years old. It happened in Alma, Arkansas, a little town just west of Fort Smith, once known as the spinach capital of the world. In 1995, the small community with a great school system and low crime rate was a big draw for families. It was a place where no one expected evil. Hundreds of people were enjoying a Little League baseball game that night. Just yards away from her mom, little Morgan was playing with two friends, Ty and Jessica. Jessica was 8 years old at the time, and I asked her if she remembered how she was connected to Morgan.
Well, I was friends with Jenna, which was Ty's sister, and so we all hung out. So we were all just friends hanging out. I mean, I was eight at the time, so you're just kind of friends with everybody, and we were just going to go to a game together. So mm-hmm. I don't really remember the adults as much as I do, like, hanging out with Ty and Jenna and all of them and Morgan. So.
Okay. So Jessica was best friends with Jenna, Ty's sister. Ty was 10 years old at the time, and he told me his family was close to Morgan.
She was always really sweet. Like, we would go over to her house and stuff like that, and she had two siblings, and we'd all play together and hang out, and just kids. Morgan's family and I and my family are connected by means of neighbors. We used to live on Ray Lane together over by the Assembly God Church. And we went to church with them, and I was friends with their son, Chip, or Colleen's brother, Chip. And we went to school together as well. And her mother took care of us a lot of times. Like, sometimes she would babysit us and stuff like that. So we just knew them. We're family friends, and so we hung out a lot.
When I sat down with Ty and Jessica for a story I put together at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, it was a big deal, because this was their very first interview. Ty and Jessica had never spoken publicly about what happened that night.
It was my sister's baseball game. We all got there, and of course, it was kind of like a thing. If you were a kid and you were at the baseball field, you always went up to the top of the hill because you could see everything. There was like a sand pile and just where they were going to do construction or something. So everybody played in that weird sand mess that they had up there.
I remember going to the game, and I remember us playing together and being up on we were a hill behind everybody and we're catching fireflies. And I do remember all that. They were just running around, playing in the dirt, just laughing and yelling and playing. I thought I remember like some concrete pillars, and we were just running and playing, and like we were trying to catch the fireflies and, you know, and just jumping around and just dirt and playing, being kids and all that.
And then we had been playing in the sand, and it was like a really weird smelling sand. So we had it in all of our shoes and everything. So we went to the car to dump out all the sand, and Jessica and I sat on the front of the car, and Morgan was on the back of the car.
We all took off running down together, and then she just said she had stopped, dumped sand out of her shoes. So when we turned around, we all just expected to all be together. Like, she would do it real quick, and then we would, you know, finish running down the hill.
You may remember from our previous episode, Morgan's mom, Colleen, told us that everyone watching the game could clearly see the kids playing in the parking area, and Morgan had only been away from her for a very short time.
They had only been playing for about 15 minutes, you know, and the game ended, and the last time that I turned to look, they were running single file. The three of them were running single file in front of the cars. At Morgan was the last one in line. That's the last time that I saw them.
A few minutes later, Ty and Jessica made it back to their families, but Morgan wasn't there.
I remember Colleen saying, well, where's Morgan? No, she's up there on the car. She's up there dumping sand out of her shoes. And then she didn't come back down, so we all walked up there together.
Colleen thought maybe Morgan decided to just wait inside their car. But when they checked, Morgan wasn't there either.
It's a really small field and a really small parking area, and it was just easy to see that she wasn't right there anywhere, right? So we started looking, and I don't know, one of the coaches called 911, and within 6 minutes, law enforcement was there at the field.
I remember just being really stressful. Of course, Colleen was, you know, anxious and freaking out. Who wouldn't be? But I don't remember a lot about it because it just got really chaotic. And as a kid, you know, there's just police lights and people running around and yelling and all that stuff. So, you know, I knew the gravity of the situation at the time. It was very serious.
Morgan simply vanished. The search for her was intense from the start. It wouldn't take long before investigators heard that there was someone else nearby when the children were playing. Both Jessica and Ty talked about a man. They just thought he was there to watch the game.
And I remember seeing somebody sitting up on the hill, leaning on his truck. And I remember that he did say stuff to us, but I don't remember specifically what. It's been a long time, so I don't remember specifically, but I remember him being up there and a man leaning against his truck while we were playing. But you're so innocent then, you don't think anything, and you're just running around laughing and playing, and like I said, we're catching fireflies and just being kids.
I mean, I remember seeing the red truck up there, but I don't honestly remember if he was up there when we got up there or if he came up there when he came up there. I just remember seeing him get out of it and then get back into it. So he could have been just sitting in there watching the game, or he could have been coming up there from the field, for all I know. I don't remember. But no one else was up there. And, you know, and then all of a sudden he was up there when we left, and all of a sudden he was gone when we came back, and so was she.
Both Morgan and the unidentified man were gone. For 25 years now, investigators have been trying to figure out what happened. Early on, cops relied heavily on their two primary witnesses, the children.
I mean, it just kind of started the succession of, you know, waking up at 6 a.m. in the Alma Police Department, or the FBI Police Department, the FBI headquarters in Fort Smith, and it was like when it felt like every single day for a year. I mean, it wasn't like that, but as a kid, it felt like that. I mean, we were there so much. We made friends with everybody working there.
I remember sitting down with a sketch artist and doing my, you know, they had a sketch artist come in, and they even showed us, you know, how they were doing it and like taught us a few things and had me and Ty both make our own sketches. So yeah, I do remember there a man being there. Like, I do remember all that.
Ty and Jessica worked hard to help investigators. Right now, I want to take some time here to give you a real sense of what happens in a case like this. There's a long-lasting ripple effect that most people don't even think about. Remember, Ty and Jessica were 10 and 8 years old.
You know, obviously our lives changed dramatically. It turned them upside down, but their lives were turned upside down. You know, law enforcement, they were questioning them and talking to them, and they were seeing, you know, specialists and psychiatrists who specialize in, you know, the witness or the testimonies of children, and, you know, doing reenactments, and the media wanted to talk to him, and just their lives were just overwhelmed, and they so desperately wanted to have the right answer. You know, they so desperately wanted to give what everybody was looking for, whatever it was, that piece that would solve the case. And we just watched them just be overwhelmed by the process. And we really stepped back out of their lives many years ago because we felt like they deserved the opportunity to grow up away from Morgan's case.
The families of both Ty and Jessica moved away from Alma. Ty told me that he tried really hard not to think about Morgan's case. That's what he did to survive. For Jessica, looking back has always been tough, even now.
The whole time in Alma and Arkansas, that's all I think about is that situation and just like wish it would have been different. I didn't know her that well, but it's just a terrible situation. And if I just would have stopped or like we would have stayed together better, then it wouldn't have ever happened. Just like what I could have done that I didn't do, like if I would have known better to not have left her by herself and what that person would have done. I mean, it makes you weary of everybody after that. Anytime I specifically think about it, or you even think of a baseball game or whatever, I mean, yeah, you know. And when I'm watching my nieces or nephews or we're with them somewhere, I mean, you keep your eye on them really, you know, strong. You can't trust anybody. Like, you can't trust people.
I told Jessica it all makes sense. I get it. And while she says no one ever blamed her for what happened, she can't help but feel guilty. All of these years, she stayed away from Alma until this interview.
I worry about someone blaming me or not thinking very highly of me because I didn't watch her more. That's part of the reason why I would have stayed away a little bit, just because I'm not saying anybody ever did blame me or anything specific like that, but it makes me nervous, like, coming back and being around people because I don't want to be, like, looked at like I should have done something about it or that people are, you know, someone be disappointed in me because, like, I was there and with her and not necessarily let it happen, but I didn't stop it. Like, I remember being really loud and jumping around and Ty being the same way and her just kind of being real reserved and quiet and just calm and stuff like that. And it just, the way everything happened, like, her being the one that just happened to stop and wait, like, if we would have just stayed together. If somebody tried to do something, we were all together, it would have been different. Versus her being by herself. Like, she had no one there to help her.
Ty says he's had those same thoughts. What if? After our interview, we visited the site where the Little League baseball field used to be. Neither of them had ever gone back since that night. And later, Ty and Jessica said it was healing to be there together.
For them to be willing to come back now as young adults to talk about what happened that night and what their emotional journey has been through, I really respect that. I really admire the courage that it took for them to do that, for the healing process and everything that changed in their lives. I don't think people always think about them. You know, they think about Morgan and they think about our family, but their lives changed that day, June 9th, 1995. I think in unimaginable ways.
After Morgan was abducted, the Nick family realized there was a need to help other families of missing children and adults in Arkansas. In 1996, Colleen launched the Morgan Nick Foundation. Eventually, she also became an advocate for missing children and adults everywhere. She also helps teach law enforcement professionals what it means to be a family of a missing child. In 2007, I attended one of her training sessions at the National Center. I was working at America's Most Wanted at the time and showed up to learn more about missing children issues. I remember Colleen telling the room of 60 cops, mostly men, that she was fully aware that the longer Morgan stays missing, the harder it might be to find her.
It is easy for them to become focused on statistics that say only 2% of long-term missing children who are stranger abducted will come home alive. And in the law enforcement community, and even in communities where families live, it can become easy to be focused on, it's been 2 years or 5 years, it just doesn't seem possible that the child can come home. But the fact is that long-term missing children do come home. I mean, we've seen the cases over the years. We saw J.C. Dugard and Elizabeth Smart and the girls from Ohio and Carlina White. They happen, and they happen more frequently because we as a society realize that it can happen if we make that call, if we investigate that lead. And so as a parent, my job is to stand here and say, I understand that you're focused on the 2%. I understand that, but from over here where I am at, 2% means that children like Morgan make it home, and it's my job to fight every day for her to come home. And you don't even have to believe that it could happen. I believe it enough for all of us, and I will be fighting every single day until it happens.
Colleen challenges people to consider this. Imagine if that missing child is yours, what would you want? She says that's the same thing she wants for Morgan. When Colleen finished speaking, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. We all stood up and clapped as she walked out. And that's when I told myself, one day I want to work at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Last week, on the 25th anniversary of Morgan's disappearance, we asked Colleen to do something she's never done before. She recorded this.
So today marks 25 years since we last saw Morgan, since she was kidnapped from a Little League baseball field in Alma, Arkansas. And we have fought every single day to find Morgan and bring her home. And if by some chance, Morgan, you should hear this, we want you to know that we have never given up. We will continue to fight for you with an army by our sides or by ourselves, but our promise to you is that if you survived, we will find you and bring you home. And if you didn't survive, we will find you and we'll bring you home. You are worth fighting for, and we love you.
If you have any information that could help bring Morgan Nick back home to her family, please call the Alma Police Department or the National Center at 1-800-THE-LOST. Coming up next on Inside Crime, another mother fights for her daughter.
And I know she was telling this person, my mom is going to find you. And I am going to find him. If it takes the last breath out of me, I will find him.
The search for answers after 25 years. Who killed Nicole Smith? That's next week on Inside Crime. That's it for this episode. I'm your host, Angeline Hartman. For more information on Morgan's case, go to insidecrime.org.